God here. God will reveal himself to you. But without him revealing himself, there's no way any man can know him. But who he is and the realm he is, it takes him to reveal himself to our lives. I would like to just share some few words with you from the Bible. That every little faith, no matter how little your faith is, it can grow to become great. We will read the story of Elijah and the Baal prophet. When Israel was confused, they didn't know what to do, not because they want to do it, but they have not seen that God for a very long time. Whatever they know about that God is what their parents have told them. It is like a story that have been told and told and told, and they said, our God can do this, our God can open the sea, our God can bring manna from heaven to us, our God can fight battle for us. But in their lifetime, they haven't seen any one of this. So if somebody comes and offer another God and say, this God too can do A, B, C, D, sometimes it's very easy. Because they are all saying the same thing. All of them look like promises. All of them look like persons who they are talking about. And you base your evidence on what you are hearing. But you are hearing from two different sources. From the sources of Mrs. Ahab and from the sources of Israel history. She brought her prophet, and there were some prophets of God also in Israel. But those prophets, they were not seeing anything here. They all seem to be the same. So eventually, the entire nation was drifted to worshiping Baal. Then God, nowhere, I don't know where, I think the Bible even didn't talk about the background of Elijah. Were there and they said, some man was sent, go and tell Ahab that there won't be rain. That's, this first news is not a very good prophecy. The first prophecy, go and tell the king that for 3.5 years, there won't be rain. What kind of prophecy is this? So he obeyed. And truly, according to his word, it happened. But as you know, human beings, those things, people will try to interpret it. There's coincidence. Oh, it has not rained. There was some time it didn't rain last year. So what is the, what's the beef about? It's not raining. It could happen that it will rain. So that alone could not shift their heart to God. Until something miraculous happened. Something that cannot be explained by science, by logic, by anything. So after 3.5 years, he came and asked Israel where their stand is. And when he asked them, no one of them could say we are for God or we are for Baal. They are so confused that God and Baal seem to be the same. Some of us are so confused that God and other things are the same. We only come to church. The difference is your dress and you come to church. Are you in that position? When you are in such a position, you take the things of God very lightly. Because you take it like politics. And you take it like your job, your workplace. You take it like your marriage. You take it like your friend, physical friend, which you can look into his eyes and lie to him because he doesn't know what is in your mind. Because The way they knew God was the Baal type of God. These people, they just do sacrifice and they do this. And our place, we too, we do the sacrifice. We all kill animal. What is the difference? So the time came, God wanted to reveal himself to Israel so that they can make a decision. And sometimes God will have to reveal himself to man to make a decision. So the reason why the gospel is preached is not because we speak it. But when the gospel is preached, revelation comes. And God is revealed in a certain way so that men will give their life to Christ. It is not even convincing people to become born again. It is delivering a message of God, and the Holy Spirit takes that message to convict men. When such men come to him, they are serious Christians. Those who are convinced by their mind to come because of the beauty of dressing, or maybe if I come, I'll get out, I'm having problem, the problem will be solved. When they come, they'll leave anyhow. So God here, my cry is that everyone will meet God in a certain way that will convince him that God is God. When it happens like that, no doctrine can change your mind. But you know him by yourself. Not because somebody told you, this is how God looked like. The next time he comes and tell you, this is how he looks like, I've changed my mind. So you get confused. If you understand him, nothing can change your mind because you know him. How many of you know, have seen me before? Am I a male or a female? Amen. Yes, I am. If somebody comes and tells her, oh, Professor, no, she's pregnant. How many of you will believe it? You won't believe it. Because you know, men don't get pregnant. They only impregnate, but they don't get pregnant. Then the final day, Elijah came and declared that, where do you stand, Israel? Because you seem to stand in between two. And then he came to the people and said, how long will you falter between two opinions? There are many Christians who are faltering between two opinions, the opinion of the world and the opinion of the Bible. This is the problem of the world. We wouldn't need to make any legislation that this person is a male or a female. People are torn in between, whether they are male or they are female. Say, how long would you? This shouldn't be something a church should discuss. We have a lot of financial problems to think about. But when our faith, when the way we see things, our opinions are double, then we take the non-essentials and waste all our time on the non-essentials. And people can push money and billions of dollars to propagate the non-essentials. Just because our opinion is not set, we need the Elijahs of today that will not debate, that will show the world, this is God. And you don't need to tell them Jehovah God is God. I hope nobody's offended here. Yeah, if you're offended, then God is offending you. Hallelujah. And when he asked him, they couldn't make an answer. I said, certain people God have delivered, people who have walked through, people who have, they were little and God helped them, they fought battle, conquered the entire area. But because in their lifetime, they haven't seen God, they only know God through their fathers and their grandfathers. They haven't taken God as their personal savior. They pride that my father is a pastor. My father is this person. My father is so-and-so. Like at the point, Jesus' brothers tried to boast that Jesus is our brother. When he was even preaching, he came to them, hey, go and call Jesus. Say, Ninianom, Omija. You don't understand. If you come from a village, if you are from a village, your Abushapanyeti owes you. Like, if he had come here and I'm preaching, and he said, he will tell them to come and call me. So they were so related. So they went and told Jesus that your brothers and they are waiting for you. And Jesus said, go and tell them. Who are my brothers? Who is my brother? Is it Jude? Is it James? Is it the others? Is it Mary's sons and Mary's daughters? He said, do you know my brothers? My brother is anyone who hears my word. For whoever does the will of God is my word. For whoever does what? The will of God is my brother, my sister, and my. So Jesus defined the family. The years are physical mother, thank God. You were a virgin and you stayed a virgin till I came out of you. But to become a son here, you need to do the will of God. To be able to be qualified to call Jesus my brother, you need to do the will of God. He said, whosoever, whether a Ghanaian, whether you are from Afghanistan, whether you are from Iran, whether you are from Iraq, whether you are from Israel, Gaza, or any other place, if you do God's will, Jesus becomes your brother. So you know, is Jesus your brother? You are not sure. So anytime you obey the word of God, your brother is ready by you to stand with you. You are not standing alone. In your time of calamities or trouble, brothers are very important. So you cannot get into trouble and let Jesus leave you. The only way you are not sure he will be with you is whether you are doing the will of God. So Jesus told them, go and tell them that my brother, my sister, my mother is those who do the will of God. So I think they took a cue from that. I think James, his brothers have to join them later. So sometimes we are all torn in between. We don't know who we are, where we are. But Elijah came and said, make a decision now. And none of them could say a word. Put it there and say, look, they were torn in between. And how long? So he rebuked, how long will you falter between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow him. But if Baal, follow him. You don't just follow. Some of you, we follow God, but we have other God under your bed. Some of us even have the boldness to bring our God to church. You tie the talisman around your waist, and it is to support. what God can do. So if this one, the Bible fail, this one should help. Some of you have other gods. Water. You've got it under your bed. Every morning, you sprinkle some on your husband's bed. And the man come and is more angry. You've done it for several months. He's still chasing that lady. I will find the reason why I will chase that lady. And I'll do the lady. Go beyond that lady. Give him whatever service he needs. Of course, I know some men, if they are controlled by the demons, cast out the demon. Not only men, women too. Now the house of God, as if there is no God. We have no fear of God. We are torn in between two. We've forgotten that God is ubiquitous. He's everywhere. God is in your room at the same time. So he said, now, Israel could not answer a question. If they knew God, he won't end. You hear the shout, Jehovah is God. But nobody could say Jehovah is God. The world is moving to those stages. We need the Elijahs before they return. He said Elijah must return because he knows backsliding people, the church will backslide. I pray that God will reveal himself like how he revealed himself to them. Elijah threw the contest, and you know the contest. Eventually, God proved himself. He brought fire, not lightning, not a matches. And the fire didn't need help. That is, when I say help, I mean petrol. So that when small thing touches, it can. He put water just to prove that no matter how impossible a situation is, when this God comes in, he turns everything around. Yeah. And when they saw that God, as if they taught them a song, nobody taught that song. They didn't write it down. Sing this one. The God is God. They all raised. You see, it is spontaneous from their heart. Now, when all the people saw it, when they did what? They fell on their what? Faces. They fell on their what? Faces. And they said, the Lord, he is God. The Lord, he is God. They fell on their faces and said, the Lord is God. The Lord is God. The pastor didn't tell them, everybody, lift your hands. So now he laid their hand. When you don't know God, you see the hands are heavy. And the most tiring thing is that you did, they say, lift. And the person say, lift your hand, forgets that he told you to lift your hands. You want to obey, but you're suffering. He didn't say, stand up. You don't want to stand up. So because you are in church, you have to stand up. It ought not to be so. It should be something within you. You realizing that I need to bow before God. I need to stand before God. You see, you have a personal God. You want to lift your hands to him. You want to worship him. That is what I'm talking about. Real worship. I hope you're getting me. Our God here, I want God to reveal himself to us as a personal God. Not what we have heard people saying. So Elijah, and in verse 40, he sees the Baal prophet and did what? These people were wasting the economy. Presidential staffers at the palace doing nothing but chopping money. I'm talking about Israel. Please. Understand me. I'm talking about the Bible. So he said, these people, they are bleeding the economy. Let me finish them. Bring them all out. And he killed all of them. He said, Udifu Pan, Utimifa Sikai. You don't play with sin. You kill sin. You don't leave demons around. Massage them. You don't negotiate with demons. Because they can't stand by the truth. Cut them off. After he finished, then he told King Ahab that I hear a sound of abundant rain. He said, then he said to him, go up, eat, and drink. Your economic situation is all. What you need, what you've been waiting for, what you've been struggling with is water, is rain. You've tried everything. The rain is not coming. Your prophet has prophesied with all stakeholders' meetings. Nothing is working. Now, rest your mind. Go and eat. Something good is coming. Yes. Things are going to turn around. Yes. Then the king, then he bowed down. After he told him, Elijah went up to the top of Mount Carmel. Real prayers. Prayers that are prayed according to the word of God. He did not decide to go and call the rain. Before he went to Mount Carmel, his head, the rain in the spiritual realm. Prayer is not just commanding God to do anything, but flowing with God, getting the mind of God, and going along with God. He heard a sound of abundant rain. God has blessed you. The reason why you are praying for blessing, when you say let's pray and you are praying for your blessing, is not because you think you can command God to bring blessing. Because he said he's blessed you with all what? Spiritual blessings. But they are in the spiritual realm. You are hearing something. God stirred those blessings in your spirit. That you are hearing the sound of that abundance. You know this thing there. I feel like something within me say, I'm going to become great. That is where you must pray. You are hearing the sound of abandonment. But that greatness will never come until you convert it from what you are hearing and feeling into the reality, the physical realm. And what makes it is prayer. Prayer is the one that brings it out from the spiritual realm to the physical realm. I hope you're getting me. Elijah. I hear the sound of what? So he told the king, go and eat. But when the king went, he didn't go to sleep. That is where the real work, spiritual work is. He got on his knees and prayed prayers. Like how we all pray. Sometimes those prayers are very frustrating. You feel and know that God wants to do this for you. You pray and you don't see answers. Is that what I felt? Is that I knew that this prayer, when I pray, I'll get answer. You pray quarter. So he prayed I thought the way he heard the sound of what? Abundance rain. I thought the moment he stand and say, oh God, before he even finished, the rain will come. But he prayed and prayed and prayed and prayed and felt, oh, this one, God should answer. He raised and said, go and check and see where the answer came. The servant went and checked and there was nothing. Have God lied? Did he see well? Why didn't he have the answer? Prayer. He kept on praying. Not once, not twice, not three times, not four times, not five times, not six times. But the seventh time, even the seventh time, do you know what happened? And said the servant, go up now. Look towards the sea. So he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. I have been saying that if I were the seven, you see, sometimes if you were the seven, the first, second, third, the fourth, you know the answer. The fifth, you know the answer. The sixth, you know the answer. Like the seven, I won't go. I will still come and give that. There's nothing. But the servant also obeyed. He will go and come. Go and come. Go and come. Who is this master who is just sending? He's not sure of it, but he's still sending. Pastor said, "Ye bompire, be ye boy, nyashi." The BIC, I'm not a bompire. Wow, ni madenta traffic is so. I spoke in your mind small. Then it came to pass. Tell somebody it came to pass.
It came to pass.
I said, I like a gun word. Huh? That's one of the few words when I came to Accra here. I went to church ahead. And that word remained in my head. And I like that word. No matter what you go through, it will come to pass.
Yeah.
I know things come to pass. If you are struggling, it shall come to pass.
Yeah.
If you are sick, it shall come to pass.
Yeah.
If you are poor today, it shall come to pass.
Yeah.
The same way, if you've been given a position of trust, know that you will remain there till the life, it will also come to pass. Oh, suffer. Hey, me who is preaching to you, it will come to pass. I will also sit here and listen to somebody. If you don't know this word, that it shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Whatever you're going through, it shall come to pass. It's not permanent. Your sickness is not permanent. Your problem is not permanent. You might be praying and nothing seems to change, but there will be a day when this word will come. It shall come to pass. It shall come to pass. Amen. I love that word. Then it came to pass. The seventh time that he said, there is what? A cloud. Say a cloud. As small as what? Rising out of a sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. The answer he saw, the faith that came out is small. And Jesus put it like this. I love it. Jesus put it like this in Matthew, Luke 17. Let's read Luke 17, verse 6. So the Lord said, if you have faith as what? A mustard, it can be small. It's that every faith starts in a certain way. But listen to me. The faith that is a mustard seed cannot move anything until it grows. Faith must grow. If you put that seed on the in your kitchen, it will remain the same. But if you plant that seed and water it, it is just like that hand. Yes, the potential water is in it. The potential mover is in it. The potential mover of mountain is in it. But you have to develop that master. The seed of faith that moves mountain comes from God. If God does not put it in your heart, no matter, you can assume that the mountain can move, it will move. But when God put it, it may not be able to move it today, but that potential faith can grow. As you fellowship with God, you relate to God, you begin to see God, it becomes so mighty. That small faith begins to grow and begin to see God mighty, great. And at a point, you see the possibility of a mountain moving. It's not only mountain, even a tree. I call it moving faith. Faith that is able to move. It begins very little. The Holy Spirit drop it in your heart. But you need to develop that faith. You need to walk with that God, get to him, pray over it until a time. See, when that faith grows, the situation you're commanding becomes very little. You may have faith, but the thing may look very big. Don't worry. Develop your faith. It will grow until that thing becomes like a small stone. That can even give you the boldness to be able to tell it, move and fall, because you see it as very little. If it is still big, your faith will fail because you doubt. Because you can't. It's big deal. Okay, they say I should say it. Listen to me. Jesus said we should say it. It's not Jesus said you should say it. But your faith must grow to the point that it can move your mountain. Any mountain you couldn't move, it means that you haven't grown your faith. Go back and do your homework. Study the word, pray well, and build your faith towards God to the extent that you will see that this sin is nothing. Sometimes those faith comes supernaturally. You call it a gift of faith. Sometimes you're praying, I meet a situation. The situation, everybody thinks is too big, but I see it as very little. After you finish, when you meet a similar thing, say, hey, I do in a meeting, can see, you know. Yes. But there's one, you have to develop it. Water it. Because that mustard seed, it grows and becomes a very big tree. It's that big tree that can be a timber. But that seed, you can't get, even though there's a timber inside. But if you like, cut it and say you want to do a chair with that seed. Yes, the potential of the timber is in it, your chair is in it, your bed is in it. But until it grows, our faith always fail because we haven't grown it. Then we blame God. It grows the extent that you are on the level of God's faith. This is how God sees it. Then you see the situation like how God sees it. When you see it like that, the situation is no situation. God sees it as no problem. So we need to develop our faith. Some of you say, I said this faith didn't work. Go and build again. Elijah did it. He prayed the first one. His feet didn't work. Don't stop. When he saw that thing like a seed, he knew that this thing must grow. Then it started growing. There, a cloud as small as man's hand rising out of the sea. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. Then what happened? That faith started growing. Now it happened in the meantime. So it wasn't the little hand that rained. In the meantime, as your faith is fed with the word of God, with the spirit of God, with prayer and other things, in the meantime, that the sky became what? That small cloud started growing, 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 until it became dark all over. Out of that small little cloud, the entire sky was covered. Out of your little faith, the entire nation can be saved. I call it developed faith. The sky became black with clouds, and he had the potential of the cloud, wind, that hand. When it goes, this is what is in it. When it expands, when it becomes great, when you allow it to grow and cover your life, consume your life, this is what it can do. And there was what? A heavy what? Not a light one. The heavy rain came out of just a little cloud that have grown. So don't be discouraged when you are praying and you just get that little hand. Don't be afraid. Know that it will perform something. It will do some great work for you. It has the ability to do mighty work. That even though your beginning will be small, sometimes the beginning looks very small. God do not look at your beginning. He sees the end. When God calls you, when God speaks, he does not see what is happening now. He sees what he's done in you. He called Abraham. He said, your name is no longer Abraham. You are Abraham. Abraham was telling God, God, you say you are going to bless me. Seeing that I am what? I go childless. The problem was with Abraham. He was seeing what he saw. Was a childless Abraham. God, can't you see me, Abraham? Me. I am without a child. This is what I see. Because I'm going to change your name, or else you will still get the problem. So that you can see, come out. He came out. Count the stars. He started 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 100, 1,000, 1,000,000. And till 6 billion now. He couldn't count. He said, God. Then he brought him outside and said, look now toward the heaven and count the stars if you are able to number them. And he said to him, so shall your descendant be. You might be one, but your descendant can spread. I am the God of multiplication. I am the God that believes in multiplying people. So Abraham, don't see yourself as single. See yourself as a multiple man. Come, count them. he said, and he started, Abraham, then he brought him outside and said, look towards the heaven and count the stars if you are able to count them. And he said to him, so shall your descendant be. And Abraham tried. Did he try? And he believed. And what happened? He believed in the Lord. God showed him stars. It hasn't happened. He hasn't seen it. He said, count them. But he still believed God. And he accounted it to him for righteousness. Abraham. Then he said to him, I am the Lord who brought you out of the Chaldean to give you this land to inherit it. God refers where he brought you. You were an unbeliever. You were heading towards hell. I sent my son to bring you out. If I have done this, what else won't I be able to do? So he continued and he said, Lord God, how shall I know that I will inherit it? Abraham is like us. So he said to him, bring me a 3-year-old. So he brought them and somebody said, he divided it. Then God signed a certain covenant with him. Then when he cut them into two, he put one some here. Then God came through the fire and walked through. Then he brought all this to him and cut them into two down the middle and placed each piece opposite the other, but he did not cut the bird in two. And when the vultures came down on the carcasses, Abraham drove them away. Anytime you want to do anything, vultures will come. The vultures! Here is it, his breakthrough is coming. The breakthrough is going to be sealed. The vultures. The vultures eat carcasses. They didn't see it as sacrifice. They saw it as carcasses. What was holy, they didn't see it as holy. Vultures! You say, hey, Pastor, vultures, they do my bush and move. They will always want to destroy when your breakthrough is near. When you are close to your breakthrough, the vultures want to come and destroy that breakthrough. What will give you your breakthrough? There are vultures always that big. It's not the duty of God to drive away the vultures. It is your duty. You drive them away. Vulture. He had a work to do. His work was to deter whatever that is going to destroy his sacrifice to God. So it is not easy for a man to be fighting with birds that are flying. So if you close your eyes small, a bit faster. Hey, Canada does some places. If you wash your things and hang them, you must wash until they dry. If you doze off, they are gone. So you have to wait and watch. You must protect what God gives you. Amen. Every covenant you make with God, open your eyes. Yeah. Don't sleep. Don't let vulture boyfriend come and destroy it. Yeah. Vulture girlfriend come and destroy it. Yeah. And eventually blame God that they say God can bless but I'm not blessed. What vulture boyfriend can give is only temporal. After he finished using you, he will throw you away. But the purpose of a milk is not the thing. Oh, so full. So don't be deceived by the vulture boyfriend, vulture girlfriend. Don't be deceived even by the vulture corruption. You say we have about 70-something% in Christians, isn't it? We supposed to have, let's say even they are only Christians. Only 20-30% corruption should be in Ghana. But rather it's the opposite. The vultures, the moment you get to power, vultures have come. But the vultures sometimes will sponsor you. Let one of you become president now. You will see church members that will come and lobby through me for ministerial position. You won't corrupt only the man. You want to corrupt the pastor too. They corrupt the pastor. They corrupt the chiefs. They corrupt anybody they think can have influence. Apart from God. They know when they go to God, God will do the right thing. Vultures. We need to send away the vultures. When the vultures are driven away, after the vultures were sent out, look at what happened. The reason why some of us don't have our breakthrough is because the vultures are still there. Now, when the sun had gone down, a deep sleep fell upon Abraham. And behold, horror and great darkness fell upon him. Then he said to Abraham, "Know certainly that your descendant will be strangers in the land that is not theirs, and will serve them." Did you hear me? "And they will afflict them 400 years." Couldn't God change this? Revelation has come so that you don't fight against the will of God. But God did not leave them there. Look at it. "And also the nation whom they serve, I will judge. Afterward, they shall come out with what?" You didn't hear that one. So the purpose of God is to give them some great possessions. Don't worry. Sometimes we go through, but if we allow the vultures, we won't see the end. Let's drive away the vultures. Amen. When vultures are driven away, revelation comes. Amen. I want to encourage you to stand by your faith. Your faith. No matter how challenging, I know the system, the world, entire world is very challenging. As if Satan had been torn loose. Everywhere you can smell satanic. But you are protected. You might be one like Elijah, but you can overcome hundreds of Baal prophets and can destroy hundreds of Baal prophets. I want you to continue to believe consistently. Hold on to that God. Stretch your faith. Don't be discouraged in life. Don't let vultures eat your sacrifice. drive them away. Some of them you've sacrificed for many years and you are not seeing the result. Drive them away. I know the result will be God will speak. And whatever God will say, the end result is that you will go out with what? Every suffering you are going through, the result is that you go out with what? Say great possession. So most of the suffering, some of the suffering you are going through, it is to make way for great possession. The things you are going through, some of them are opening. God is going to open a bigger door. Some of you will be taken to a company and they will try to push you left and right, ignore you. At the end, you'll buy the company. Don't go and get juju for promotion because the company belongs to you. Amen. God has what it takes to transfer that wealth into your hand. Amen. This is awful. He said, in this our days, you are dreaming. Yes, in the days of Daniel, Meshach, Abednego, they have no connection, but they were made governors. Slaves. In fact, Enoch, have you heard that Daniel have a wife? The people have made them Enoch when they take. The fact that they have incapacitated you doesn't mean that that is your end. They rose up over those who have wives and rule them and their children. They ended up as prominent men that any government that came can never ignore Daniel. Whether you like him or not, either you take him and succeed or you leave him and fail. And everyone want to succeed. So sometimes, don't worry. Develop your gift. Move around. Have what nobody can give. Look, people will come to you not because they like you. I don't like people who will give you something because of favor. When people give you a position or something because they favored you, the day their wife make them angry, you are gone. But if it is because of what you have, your merit, and you have it, you are delivering, the man will even less his friend, the man won't think of removing you. Because, you know, if he removes you, everything will crumble. So rather develop your gift. Let it be outstanding. That wherever they put you, if you are a star football player, if they put you in a place, make sure, look, the day they remove you, they can win. Trust God. Work hard. He said, Ajuma, he prophet. Create some. If you don't find job, it means that you are an employer. Una oma yin na ebreno. Hallelujah. So, my advice, I hope I spoke well. I know some of you are. If you take my advice, no matter how little it is, look, take it. I think ICGC is an example. It's like it started as a mustard seed, gradually from a classroom. Afternoon service, Mebwana. It started at Kanda class 5 or class 4. The class at school, just by the roadside, class 5. Small classroom, just like this cubicle. Afternoon, some church have to close. Lutheran church, they had to close. We had to wait. When they finish, then we go in. But Dr. Temple didn't rush. process, step by step, step by step. And it is good God did it. They will sack us. We're so noisy. Sack us. Accra High. We're all science students. Our church was in a laboratory. Science laboratory. And with all these tubes and that thing, everything, there we see that if you take a picture as if this is a serious science class. But that was what we had. Gradually, and all that, we move from one place to the other, and in every area we collect people. God was making us international in Ghana. That time, churches were community. If it's Kanda, all the only people in Kanda, but anything they move, I say, this people come, they move, I say, this people come, and by the time we realize, they move us to Osu, people join in Osu, before we realize, we became centralized everywhere. So, all in our affliction, God was leading us and guiding us so that we could get people all over Accra. If only you curse God. But brethren, if this church have grown to be like that, and this is a branch. Mahune branch. Only one branch. And have hundreds of branches. It started like a mustard seed. But it couldn't have done what we say we would do when it was a seed. But when it grew and became like this, it can now establish university. It can now do other things. So potentially, the seed, the faith, can do great things. But we need to grow it. And the growing comes through process. And let us understand that there are processes. God bless you.